Turn with me this morning to Psalm chapter 18. We're going to end up in Genesis here in a minute, but Psalm chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 30 through 36. We're going to continue on with our study of the attributes of God, and we're talking this morning about the strength of the Lord. Psalm chapter 18, verse 30 says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies, and have overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you are our strength. And although we face things throughout the day, each day that we are not able to deal with on our own, we thank you that we can draw upon you to meet our needs, to give us strength, to give us the help that we need to get us through. We thank you for your word and how many things we see about you and your word and how that we can draw hope from that as well. Father, I pray that our relationship, our fellowship with you would deepen as a result of what we see here this morning. Father, I pray that you give me the words to say, that you give me clarity of thought and speech. And I pray that you would be glorified in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. David knew what it was like to face difficulty. He knew what it was like to have people that hated him. He faced attacks from his own son Absalom. And he even dealt with criticism from his own brothers when he went into the camp of Israel and Goliath was standing on the other side taunting them. This psalm was written by David in thanksgiving to God, who delivered him from the hands of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. How many times did David chased by Saul? But God delivered him from every one. What was it that enabled David to sing the psalm of praise? Was it his own ability? Was it his own strategy in battle? No. There are several characteristics of God that are mentioned in this chapter, but the one I want us to consider this morning is found in the very first verse of chapter 18. If you turn just back over to chapter 18, verse 1. Psalm chapter 18, verse 1. It says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." Four times in this chapter, David points out that God is his strength. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 32, and verse 39. And this morning, I want to take those four verses and want us to look at four principles in the life of Joseph. Say, why about David? Well, because I want to look at Joseph this morning. We're going to look at the life of Joseph. Did Joseph go through any difficult trials? Yeah. He did. In fact, as a young man, it seemed like they came one right after another. It just seemed like they never stopped. Did Joseph face any rejection or attacks from people he knew? Yes. How did Joseph respond? What enabled him to respond that way? First thing I want to see this morning is Joseph found his strength in the Lord. Why? Because of his walk with him. Joseph found his strength in the Lord because of his walk with him. Psalm 18:1 says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." Turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. We'll get there in just a minute. Genesis 37. If you find a strong marriage, and I'm thankful that in this church, we have those who have been married for many, many years. And that is a great testimony of God's faithfulness. But if you find a strong marriage, you will find a husband and wife that love each other, that communicate with each other, that spend time together, that enjoy each other's company. You see a couple out there who like to go their own direction, who like to do their own things, and they don't spend a lot of time. You wonder, how does their marriage last? Joseph drew his strength from his relationship with the Lord. You see a strong marriage, you see somebody who's a strong Christian. What is typical of them? They're going to spend time with God. They're going to spend time communicating with God. They're going to spend time in prayer. They're going to spend time in God's Word. They enjoy being in the presence of God through fellowship with Him. And Joseph drew his strength from his relationship with the Lord. What does that look like? What is that fellowship? What does that relationship look like? Joseph knew about God. He knew about God's character. He knew God was his God. And when he faced a trial, he could say, "My God is faithful." He could say, "My God is my help. My God is my protection. My God will sustain me." See, Joseph had a personal relationship with God, and so he could call on God's strength when it was difficult. Genesis chapter 37, look at some of the things that Joseph had to go through. Genesis 37, 1 says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. They could not speak peaceably unto him." So we see the first thing here is favoritism from his father, which caused hatred from his brothers. You know, I've heard some people say when you see somebody who tells on their brothers and sisters, they call them the policemen. Joseph, maybe he was the one that was trying to encourage his brothers to do right. It doesn't say that, but it says here he came to his father with an evil report. And his brothers hated him. Genesis 37, verse 5, Joseph dreamed a dream. He told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Down in verse 11, his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And so even these dreams that Joseph had caused his brothers more hatred and envy of Joseph. Chapter 37, verse 18, Jacob has sent Joseph down to check on his brothers. And so Joseph goes, and he's coming to check on his brothers. And it says in verse 18, when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. They said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." So Reuben had an ulterior motive there. He wanted to get Joseph back safely to his father. It came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren, they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water there. And so we see the cruel treatment from his brothers. Chapter 37, verse 25. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And so here we see he's sold into slavery by his brothers. How did Joseph respond to all that? Genesis 37, verse 36. He's going down to Egypt with the Ishmaelites and the Midianites sold him into Egypt, unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, and the captain of the guard. Look at chapter 39, verse 1. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him with the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Not exactly what we'd call a happy childhood and happy teen years. But look at verses 2 and 3 of chapter 39. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. You see, the relationship that Joseph had with God did not just start when he went down to Egypt. This wasn't like a foxhole prayer where Joseph all of a sudden started acting spiritual because he was in trouble. In order for Joseph to have strength to go through difficulties, he had to be firm in that relationship long before this time. I want to look at some other illustrations of this. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. I think you'll probably know where we're going with this one. Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And here we find Daniel and his three friends being brought to Babylon to serve under the king. And this wasn't summer camp. This was slavery. And any wrong action on their part could result in death. But what does it say? God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. God did that. Daniel had a relationship with God. Look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 14. So the king had a dream, and he said, I want the wise men, I want you guys to figure out what my dream is and what it meant. Well, then verse 14, you see Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? And Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. They would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Daniel's life's on the line here. And the wise men couldn't figure out the king's dream, and so the king was ready to put them all to death. He said, I'll find somebody else. But he decreed to put them to death. But Daniel here gains time with the king. He says, King, please, just give me some time. God will reveal the meaning of this dream. Just give us some time. And so the king gives him some time, and we see here that the king, or that God revealed the dream to Joseph, revealed the meaning of the dream. And so Daniel was able to take that back to the king, and we see here in these end verses that we read, all glory was given to God for what Daniel was able to do in this situation. But it was because Daniel had a relationship with God. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Story we've probably all heard from the time that we were little kids. Three good men lived very long ago, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many of you sang that song? Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What happened here? Well, the king had set up a large statue and said, I want everybody to worship this statue. Well, these three men said, no, we're not going to worship a god, an idol made by man. We're going to worship the God of heaven. And they brought these men before the king. In verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. These three young men were at a point of decision here, but in their minds there was no decision. The decision had already been made. They stood firm, and God was glorified in the end. Look at verses 28 and 29 of chapter 3. You know, the king was so furious. He had made this great idol of gold. He's saying, look at me, worship this God. And he was so furious that these three men had refused. But look at his attitude in verse 28. After the men had come out of the furnace unscathed, unharmed by the flames, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. What a testimony of these three men who stood up in the multitudes and said, no, we're going to worship the God of heaven because he is the only true God. Why could they do that? Because they had a relationship with God long before this. One more, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Daniel 6, 10. So these men who were ruling alongside Daniel didn't like Daniel. And so they got the king to make a decree. He said, king, anybody who bows down to anybody but you in the next 30 days, let's throw them in the den of lions. The king said, that sounds like a good idea. And so the king signs this decree and seals it. So the decree is made. We come to verse 10. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before aforetime. Look down at verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice over unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And we know from reading on that the men who conspired against Daniel did come upon some hurt and some death. But look at verses 25 through 28. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. None of these young men treated God as a good luck charm. They didn't pick him up when they were in trouble. They already had a relationship with God that was real long before they were taken to Babylon and had to face these trials. And the thing that is going to reveal our relationship with God more than anything else is trials. And if we're going to have the strength we need in every situation, in every trial we face, it's because we have an active relationship and fellowship with God before the trials come. We can't try to have that foxhole prayer and expect God to give us strength. You know, God, I've got to have strength to get through this. I don't care about the rest of the time. I just need strength right now. No, we've got to have that relationship, that fellowship with God continually. So when the trials come, we can deal with them as we need to. We have the strength. So Joseph had the strength he needed because of his relationship with God. Number two, Joseph was confident because his strength was in God. Psalm chapter 18, verse 2. We're going to bounce back and forth between Psalms and Genesis here, but let me just read that verse. Psalm 18, verse 2. It says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. The words here suggest someone who is confident in their relationship with God. How is it that Joseph, David, Daniel, his three friends were able to stand confidently and without fear of man? It's because their trust was in God. He was their strength. He was their rock. He was their fortress. Let me read a verse for you in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2 verses 21 through 23. Speaking about Christ here, it says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. When Christ was treated so cruelly at his trial and crucifixion, how was it that he was able to endure? Well, he was God. He was God. He is God. But how was it he was able to endure? I believe it tells us in that verse 23, because he committed himself to him that judges righteously. He is confident because of his relationship with God. He could draw strength on his relationship, his fellowship with his Heavenly Father. And he was confident in the fact that his Father was in control. The third thing I want us to look at this morning is Joseph did not fight against the trials in his life because his strength was in God. Psalm chapter 18, verse 32. Another verse where David talks about strength. It says, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. This verse implies that the process of growth that we go through to reach spiritual maturity is not easy. It's not just simply something is going to come by automatically. Think about when a little child begins to walk. It's been a little bit in our house since that's happened. But when a child begins to walk, what happens? They walk and boom. They walk and boom. They walk and boom. They're just falling over and over again. How about when we learn to ride a bike? How many scraped knees, scraped elbows, scraped heads do we suffer when we're trying to learn to ride a bike? That was a growing time. That was a learning time. Then we grow through the challenging teen years and become an adult. And the physical problems are added to with financial, relational, family, vocational, and social challenges. How are we going to respond to those? Are we going to fight against it because we don't want to deal with the growing pains? Are we going to see God's hand in it and draw on His strength to get through those times? One thing we don't see in the treatment that Joseph had received up to this point was fighting, complaining, arguing, rebellion. We don't see that in the life of Joseph. I believe that's because of the phrase in verse in Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. He had that relationship with God. He drew his strength from God. What if Joseph would have responded differently when his brothers sold him into Egypt? What if he would have said, fine, that's the way you're going to be? That's the way my family's going to treat me? Then fine, I'll just go on. I'll just go on to Egypt and I'll just live like I want to live. I'm not going to live for God anymore. I'm going to go do as I please. Joseph could have vexed his righteous soul like Lot did, become a part of Egyptian society. And you know what? Nobody in Egypt would have known. Joseph would have become a slave. Maybe he would have prospered as a slave, gone and be part of society. Nobody would have known. But God, he could have enjoyed all the pleasures of the world, at least for a season. But we don't see Joseph responding that way. Joseph trusted God. His confidence was in him, and therefore he had the strength to persevere. But he also didn't worry about the future. We see evidence of this in Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 21. Genesis 50, verses 15 to 21. When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. You see, there was no question in Joseph's mind who orchestrated all the events in his life, and therefore he had the strength to live for God. If you look at Psalm 52, 1 through 7, we won't look at that this morning, but if you make a note of that, Psalm 52, 1 through 7 gives us an illustration of the man who trusts in himself and not in God. His life is characterized by evil speech, by deceit, by self-centeredness. But we all know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And we will have the strength to go forward for God when we trust in him. And Joseph had that confidence. He didn't fight against the trials because his strength was in God. And then lastly, we see Joseph made God his strength and found his enemies subdued. Psalm chapter 18, verse 39 says, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. David also drew his strength from God, and many times God gave him victory over his enemies. Remember the hatred that Joseph's brothers had to him back in chapter 37, how they hated him for his favoritism from his father. They hated him for his dreams. They just hated him. They wanted to get rid of him. They were ready to kill him. But Genesis chapter 50, verse 18 shows quite a different picture. It says here in verse 18, His brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. Quite a change, wasn't it? Quite a transformation. But Joseph did not retaliate against his brothers, but drew on God's strength to deal with their hatred, he was able to see God humble them, before him. And it says in Genesis, back in chapter 37 and chapter 39, that God brought both Potiphar and Pharaoh to a place of showing favor to Joseph because Joseph drew his strength from God to deal with their demands, and it showed in his character. Psalm 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, it maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. It doesn't say in that verse, when I get along with my enemies, then they'll be at peace with me. No, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Our first priority is our relationship with the Lord. And we are living a life pleasing and honoring to him. He will work in the hearts of our enemies. And sometimes, though, he works in our hearts in relation to our enemies. Some other verses that talk about the Lord being our strength. I'll just go through them quickly here. Psalm 27:1 says that we don't have to fear the Lord. Or we don't have to fear when the Lord is our strength. We don't have to fear what other people do to us when the Lord is our strength. Psalm 29:11 says the Lord will give strength unto his people. Psalm 31:4 says the Lord's strength will pull us out of the snares of life. It'll deliver us out of those things that would be a danger to us. Psalm 77:14, it says God will reveal his strength in us. And then Psalm 118:14 says, the Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. Joseph found his strength in the Lord because of his walk with him. He was confident because his strength was in God. He didn't fight against God in the trials because his strength was in God. And because his strength was in God, he found his enemies subdued. So the question I ask this morning, where are we getting our strength from today? Are you drawing your strength from God because you have an active relationship with him? That's where we need to be. Maybe you're here today and you can't draw strength from God because you don't have a personal relationship with him. Maybe you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please start by doing that today. You will never have made a bad decision when you decide to receive Christ as your Savior. But you do that today and you too can realize his strength to live each day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the examples of Joseph and David and Daniel and his three friends. Thank you for the Christ's example that when he reviled not again because he committed himself to you. Father, I pray that each one here this morning would have a vital and active relationship and fellowship with you that would allow us to draw our strength in trials, that would allow us to stand confidently, that would allow us to see you work in the hearts of our enemies and even in our own hearts to bring peace with our fellow man. Father, we thank you for what you will do in our hearts. And Father, I pray if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior, Father, please work in their hearts to bring them to that point today, that they would make that decision, that you'd be able to give them the strength they need to endure the things that we face in this life. We thank you for what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen.